Scotland, Rick Emerson. He's back. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Yes, I continue to be back. All right. Hey, it's 2 minutes, 25 seconds after the hour 12, and this is the month of December in the year of our Lord, 2002. All right, there you go. Mike Flynn continues to be here as well. Unless you're keeping score at home.
It's just part of the Christmas season.
It's part of the joy of December, yeah.
I think that that may be with you through this whole month.
It's part of the joy of the holiday spirit. The sound of sinus. All right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland and 1-800-727-5955. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com, too, if you'd like to email us. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. We got, let's see. I got a big pile. Where's my big pile of stuff? We got a top five coming up later on today. Also, latest on the Tim Riley Factor Christmas song. It's just, when I was out, they pulled me back in. Just like, every time I think that friggin' song is done, so much of my work, years off my life it takes. I just, it's so painful trying to get this Christmas song done. We haven't even started duplicating it yet. I know I sound like Alan Arkin now, but it's so hard. we've got so little talent. We've got so little talent, so little musical ability. And so, what was I possibly thinking? What the hell could have possibly been going through my mind? That I committed this, and it was me. I didn't want anybody else. I wasn't nobody. I wasn't Christina. I wasn't Tim. Wasn't Kristen. Wasn't Todd. Wasn't anybody. It was me. Why don't I just commit myself to curing cancer, huh? We have no musical ability. We have no musical talent to speak of, except for Todd. Because everybody else who's musically talented is playing an instrument upon which they're not schooled.
But we can't really do, like, a big old drum solo in a Christmas song very
right.
well.
Right, yeah, that's the other thing.
We could do, like, a sleigh bell solo.
That's the other thing. And so Todd actually has musical talent, but, of course, it's in a song that he can't possibly exhibit such talent on. So I've committed this now to writing, producing, recording, and duplicating a Christmas song, which I might as well have said I was going to swallow the sun. I don't even know what I was thinking. Anyway, so we've got some of the basic instrumental tracks done. Basically, everything that doesn't involve my talent is taken care of and finished. But then when it comes time, when it's crunch time, when it's time for the man on the mic, because it's not, you know, because it's not a song if it's not complete. It doesn't have the vocals and the lyrics and everything. So tonight, just looking forward to it already. It's like a man looking forward to his own hanging and disemboweling. So tonight we'll be taking yet another whack at trying to complete the Tim Riley Factor Christmas song. Seriously, if you just like if you're walking around Southwest Portland tonight around 8 o'clock, you just hear like a gunshot and like the slumping sound of a body hitting the floor, bereft of all its life force, I hope I'm not bringing everybody down. Give me a gun. Give me a whole glass of NyQuil. Anyway. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. Betsy will be here later. CNN radio correspondent Jim Rube with the latest in all things Winona. Here's Tim Riley, who's in the KOTK newsroom.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
And this news is brought to you by Everybody's Garden Center. Of course, nobody can see this, but we have a new member for the band from our friend Mike Orias, hope I'm pronouncing your name right. He specializes in steel sculpture.
That's the guy that made the jack-o'-lantern that everybody saw at the listener party. And he made the take a look at my enormous penis statue.
Yeah.
Which, Matt, by the way, can I just note this?
Sure.
So, the guy brings us a statue, which is very well done, but has, you know, an enormous penis on it. And so we're talking, and then he also made something for Christina. He made these like metal rows. It was very cool that he made in a vaguely stalker-like fashion that he gave to her. No, I'm just kidding. So he brought us this metal flower and then also the statue, the enormous penis. And so we're talking about this in the hallway about, oh, we got the great metal sculpture from this guy Mike. He's just such a stud. He made this great jack-o'-lantern. And so Ron Carter, the general manager, and I think we would all admit a somewhat conservative man, is walking by and he's like, what's this about sculptures? And Matt, yes, a guy brought us an enormous penis sculpture. What? Yes, it's for our penis watch, which we do here. And I think he would just prefer not to know about those things. And all things being equal, I think he'd just prefer to be in the dark about said penis watch and the penis culture. Matt, no! Penis, I say! Penis, 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 penis. It's like the most awkward conversation. Anyway, so he brought us... So we've got more sculptures from him today.
We have a guitar player with long hair. A long-haired guitarist. And Mike, let's see here, specializes in wild, imaginative, fun, whimsical metal sculptures made out of welded steel.
And he really does. I've seen this guy's yard, too. Send me a picture of the yard. And his yard is covered with metal sculptures.
They are amazing.
It is impossible to overstate. And I don't say we're not getting paid for this. We're just going to say this because he's a good guy.
It's incredible. Look at this.
It is impossible to overstate the coolness of this guy's metal sculpture. I mean, this is amazing stuff.
So this has been on display before. But we don't know if it's on display now.
But so does he have a contact number? People want to
let's see here.
Get something done?
You can go to...
I think I can find it for you.
Yeah. We have an old exhibit one here.
So we'll give you the phone number for this later. But this guy has amazing metal sculpture.
They'd be great Christmas present.
Yeah, so we're looking to get something done.
Amazing stuff. So cool, I'm going to be carrying this home on the bus tonight.
Yeah, so the latest sculpture, though, is a picture of... It's a sculpture of Tim, sort of, holding an electric guitar, and it's for the band. So
it's very so cool. So... Anyway, let's find out what's happening today. Trailblazers forward Reuben Patterson no longer faces felony domestic abuse charges after his wife Shannon told prosecutors she didn't want to pursue the allegation after all. So, it wasn't so...
That's not at all like the pattern of domestic violence that most abused wives follow.
You know, because she loves him.
Yeah,
Shannon Patterson called 911 to report Reuben was, quote, kicking her ass. Listen.
911, do you need paramedics or police?
Yeah, I need to report an assault. My husband has just kicked my ass.
What's your name?
Yeah, my husband is Reuben Patterson.
All right, and is he still there?
Yeah.
Where is he?
But I need to leave. I need to leave. He just tried to
kick her ass.
Okay, stop. You're not going to stay there and talk to police?
Well, how long are they going to be?
Okay, you can calm down, Shannon, okay?
Jesus. Least helpful 911 operator ever.
She must be a compassionate conservative.
Hear about that? Well, because the call follows this whole thing where first she calls and my husband had just kicked my ass, and then the operator says, "Are you going to stay?" And the woman says, "Well,
sure,
clearly,
I'd like to have my ass kicked again."
Sure, yeah, I just can't have my ass kicked enough. Why would you possibly stay? What kind of a retarded question is that for the operator even to ask? Are you going to stay in the house? Clearly, the answer would be no. Who doesn't enjoy being beaten? Allegedly. And so the woman says, I'm not going to stay. Or the woman says, how long is it going to be till the cops get here? And the operator says, you need to calm down, Shannon.
Long enough for two more ass kickings, lady.
Sounds to me like you need a good ass kicking. Can you play that again?
Yeah,
play that clip again. Listen to how obnoxiously insensitive this operator is.
911, do you need paramedics or police?
Yeah, I need to report an assault. My husband has just kicked my ass.
What's your name?
Shannon. My husband is Reuben Patterson.
All right. And is he still there?
Yeah.
Where is he?
But I need to leave. I need to leave. He just tried to choke me.
Okay, stop. You're not going to stay there and talk to police?
Well, how long are they going to be?
Okay, you can calm down, Shannon, okay?
What the hell is that about?
Well, you know, it depends on how serious it is before the response is all tape, like what's going on the screen, like severe ass kicking. And then they have a period of time before they arrive.
Gluteal whooping.
So anyway, this has happened before, of course. And it wasn't that long ago that she told a Portland audience that her husband is the salt of the earth. This after the nanny raping thing.
I love my husband, and our family is worth preserving. So that's what I intend to do at all costs.
They're just love taps, baby.
Yeah,
and he's the assault of the earth.
So it sounds like accused family murderer Christian Longo used Shannon Patterson's phone, speaking of his dismal family life. Here is a tape recording when the family man told the cops that they lived off the change in the ashtray of their minivan.
Tuesday night to Friday, doing around the whatever else we had to, maybe even having $2 or $3, went through every bit of change in the car. You know, it used to be we had $50 for the change in the ashtray, and now we're struggling with pennies out of the ashtray.
That's a number of Happy Meal.
Well, depending on the size of the ashtray, you never know how much it can hold. It's like you go to that, you want to know the trashiest feeling ever? And maybe not we've all. That is to say me. I've had this feeling.
Probably me, though.
Is being in trash, as I am. What is that thing that Ricky Rackman used to say in Headbangers Ball at the end? Keep one foot in the gutter, one fist in the gold. That's totally me. That's the Rick Emerson live story. One foot in the gutter, or both feet in the gutter, a fist in the gold. Here's the trashiest feeling ever. Taking a huge pile of coins, to that Coinstar thing at Safeway?
I have.
Where it takes out 8 cents on the dollar. You just pouring it all in there. And then it spits out like a receipt or like $12. That's how I paid for my first trip to Vegas. The very first time I ever went to Vegas, it was only a few years ago, really. I'd never been to Vegas until, I don't know, 7 years ago, 95. I'd never been to Vegas until I was about 22. Anyway, and so we had the plane tickets to Vegas. But I didn't have any, like, the plane tickets were covered. It was a Westwood One radio convention, so the tickets were covered, but nothing else. I didn't have any gambling money or whatever. And so I was living by myself, single guy, apartment disaster, just, you know, just far as the eye can see, just apocalypse. And so I went through, right before we're going to the airport, I'm going through my apartment with, like, a laundry tub, like, sliding change. You know that arm slide, where you put your arm on the coffee table, slide all the change on the coffee table into the tub. My dresser, kitchen counter, you know, carpet, sofa cushions, in there. Take it to the Safeway, like $49 in change I had. Gambled the entire time in Vegas on the change out of my apartment. So that's the trashiest feeling ever, when you're taking the Coinstar route there. And it's all, and the money's all, like, linty. You know what I'm talking about? Where you're rummaging under the love seat for your coins, and you're putting them all into, like, one big jar, and there's all pieces of hair in there, and old toenail clippings, all nasty. It's bad.
More crime. The student body president at Eastern Washington University has been arrested for allegedly firing a handgun from his car at other people. 21-year-old Dan J. Clark was arrested early Thanksgiving morning for allegedly driving under the influence and committing a drive-by shooting. Well, he made bail and has been released. Nobody was struck, so apparently this is careless horseplay. The new student body president there says classmates are concerned about this whole thing. The officials at the college will not say whether or not he's still enrolled.
And this is the head of the student body?
Yeah.
Our people at Eastern are...
But he's shooting at people. He's really... Nobody knows where he is.
He's just gone.
On Thanksgiving.
Well, and in Cheney. I mean, there's only like... I don't know if you've ever been to Cheney,
where
Washington.
Cheney
is by Spokane. Cheney is about... Cheney's about 40 minutes away from Spokane, Washington. And Cheney is a town that exists only because of Eastern Washington University. It should be noted, my brother, by the way, is currently attending Eastern Washington. So I hope he wasn't shot by this guy, because my brother goes to Eastern. But Eastern is, I mean, the whole town, you know, the biggest thing in Cheney that's not Ewu is a Circle K, literally. There is a Circle K, and there's a place called Gatto's Pizza. And that's it, man. That's all there is in Cheney. So it can't be hard to find that guy. Jesus.
All right. Let's see what else do we have here. Entertainment news. Gadzooks, I'm expected to read this.
See, hear that cough coming back on me?
I just got rid of it.
Can I just tell you this? Well, there's two. I found this out from Sarah.
Yes.
Sarah Dillon, a former intern, now low-paid employee, was here today, and she was doing something or other. But how was I talking about? Oh, so she's all, like, sick, because she calls in yesterday, and she's like, can you tell Bruce I won't be in to run Lycus? You know, just sounds like she's in a TB ward somewhere. She's like, can you get Todd to run the board? And I was talking to her, and I said, I thought you were over your illness. And apparently there's two different viruses going around. One is vomit. One is throat. And so, because, like, Laura's on this whole bell curve thing where she was sick and then better. And then last night, it's like Captain Trips, man. Last night, she got the Martian death flu again. And so she's just flat on her back. Just, ugh. So I totally know it's coming back on us.
Let me try to read this small print. Halle Berry has a lot to be thankful for this year. She won the Oscar for her role in Monsters Ball in her character... Gina, for Die Another Day, is getting her own spin-off film. We spoke with her recently. She talks about what Christmas meant to her as a child.
Okay.
J-I-N-X. Not
Gina. Her name is not Gina.
Let's see here. See how small this print is? I mean, look at this. It is small.
The print is very light.
And it's light and it's small.
Is like 8-point type.
Okay.
Is it highlighted in the purple?
Okay, but
no way. Yesterday. That's hard to read, too.
Okay, the print is small, but there's no way. How could you turn an X into an A?
If you read it from over here, there's no light.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'll read it. Halle Berry has a lot to be thankful for this year. She won the Oscar for her role in Monsters Ball, and her character, Jinx, from Die Another Day, is getting her own spinoff film. E! Entertainment Radio spoke with Halle about the Christmas season, what it meant to her as a child, and her favorite childhood present. Halle, talk about what Christmas meant to you as a child.
Christmas was always a great time. You know, I grew up with a single parent family, so we didn't always have a lot of money, but my mother always, I swear she must have spent the whole year just saving for Christmas, because in Christmas, I felt like we were rich, because we always got everything we ever wrote on our list to Santa, we always had it.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right.
Helly enjoys Christmas these days through the eye of her stepdaughter in India. Oh, her daughter is India.
I get to do the same thing my mother did for me for India, and that feels really good. I get to give her everything she has on that list.
She secures the right to vote for all indigenous people.
It's actually much shorter than my list ever used to be. And that feels really good, you know, and to see her, that smile on her face in the morning and watch her tear through the packages.
Does India have a father?
You know, be excited.
Does Halle Berry have a father for her child?
She's still at the age. She doesn't
have a father. I'm thinking, yeah, logic would dictate that there's a father.
On the scene.
She believes in the tooth fairy.
I think India is actually her stepdaughter.
Is she married?
Well, I don't know, but I think that's the way that read.
I think she was at one time, but she ran over him with a car or something.
That's likely.
How can we just make up news here?
We don't make up news.
No, that would be a violation of journalistic ethics.
Ethics. I can't even say the word with a straight
face.
Take
back my Edward R. Murrow award for that. We won't get the Guillaume award once they, I'll forfeit my shot to be in the NAB Hall of Fame.
Well, 'tis the season to be selling babies. Get a couple of stories here. Heartbreaking indeed. Somerset couple charged with attempting to sell their 3-month-old daughter in a Walmart parking lot.
Well, that's the play. I mean, really, if you want to buy a baby at a discount,
yeah.
If you don't want to pay the steep markup prices that you are going to have to pay at, say, a Saks Fifth Avenue or Meyer and Frank, if you really are looking to buy a baby on a budget and you don't have the money to buy a top-of-the-line baby...
You are horrible people. Horrible people, I tell you.
Why? Generic babies are just as good as the name brand
ones.
See,
that's the thing is, yeah, see, the
there's
bags,
no reason not to buy the Walmart baby instead of the Saks baby.
I'm embarrassed that I'm there right
now. Why would you pay for the tag?
It's
you know what I mean?
Sam's Club baby.
Why are we talking about this? Come on, people.
Because here's a season to be selling babies in parking lots.
All right, so they're selling the baby in the Walmart parking lot.
Right. The couple is asking for $3,000 in cash and a barbecue chicken dinner.
Now, you made up that part.
I did.
Come on.
This right here, no. Kathy Lee Hart and Anthony Wayne Hart were arrested in front of the Danville Walmart Supercenter. Police said they tried to sell their baby to a prospective adopted couple to $3,000 and some barbecue chicken.
Barbecue chicken is a deal breaker, damn it.
This is the best story in the history of the world.
Well, Hart has a history of money problems, and the couple's marriage has been rocky at times.
Surprise me some more.
Kathy Hart sought a domestic violence order against her husband in 1977, saying he kicked her ass and threatened to kill her.
Two kicked your ass stories in one day.
Oh,
in
come
20
on,
minutes.
Man. Then they had the baby to make life more wonderful.
Well, it's like when you see that, if you liked your car, you'll love, and then it's like the knockoff. I wonder if they have if you like legitimate babies that you created yourself, you'll love this baby in the Walmart parking lot. Oh, man.
I really wish I had the little My Little Buddy theme song right now from the commercial.
Oh,
that
man.
Was only the first story.
Oh, is there another one?
Yes, there is.
Excellent.
This is from the Northwest. A Kent woman pleading innocent to a charge of selling her baby. 28-year-old Virginia Ramsey entered the plea today in King County Superior Court. She sold the 4-month-old boy 2 years ago for $2,000 with a promise of $3,000 more. She said she used the money to buy groceries, a VCR, 2 Sony PlayStations, and to pay a traffic ticket and visit a casino.
So she didn't even get any chicken.
No.
Yeah, you got to haggle.
Why do you need 2 PlayStations?
That's a good. Maybe
well, if you want another baby at some point, or if you need to trade something for formula.
The baby has since been placed in a foster care home.
Okay. Happy times. All right.
It's the holiday season.
1-800-727-5955 or 503-250. Then Eddie, Christina, you're going to miss this?
I'm just horrified that I work here. Today, it's just like the reality hit me, you know, baby story
story. You got like another 7 days. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
I'm the guy named Curtis Blow, and Christmas is one thing I know. So every year, just about this time, I celebrate it with a rhyme. Gonna shake it, gonna bake it, gonna make it good. Gonna rock, shock, rock it through your neighborhood. Gonna read, gonna sing it till it's understood. My rap's about to happen like a knee. You were slapping, or I told you been tapping on a hunk of wood. Bought a red through the two with a friendly attitude and a slave full of three for the people on the block. Got a long white beard, maybe look kind of weird. And if you ever see him, he can give you quite a shock.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
They don't make them like Curtis Blow anymore.
Of course, there has to be like this grooving song afterwards. So, baby story, dancing to the music. Only at the Rick Emerson
Well,
show.
Look, you got to take a little, you know, lemonade. Spoonful of Curtis makes that story go down.
Yes, he really does.
All right, here's Christina with the traffic.
The traffic. I'm not horrified to do the
is
traffic.
Is baby trafficking?
No,
or is
it's
it just.
No,
it was
no.
cheap. It was just
that
sitting
was
there.
Cheap.
I just had to do it.
It was
All
very
right.
cheap. So, anyway, actually.
Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. This is a great bit. It's one of the new ones. I don't think it's come up before.
Swing it.
Yes, it is indeed. By the way, we have a phone number for you if you want to contact. Is it Orias? Is that how you pronounce
Orias,
it?
Orias, I believe. Mike Orias.
Mike Orias. He's the guy who did the
welded steel sculpture.
Yeah, he does welded steel sculpture. He did the jack-o'-lantern. You may have seen at the listener party. He did. He's done sculptures for Matt. He made like a welded. It sounds kind of weird, but it really is beautiful. The welded steel rose in a vase for Christina. It sounds strange, but it really works. It's beautiful.
It's very, very cool.
And he just made a statue for Tim, for the Tim Riley Factor.
Thanks, Mike.
If you want to get in touch with him and ask him about the welding you something, sculpting you up something, it's 503-873-7624. 503-873-7624. That's Mike Orias. All right, here's Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
Sad but true, Grammy-nominated songwriter and musician John Tesh is performing this week at Disney World to host the holiday candlelight procession. Tesh is reading passages from the Bible while performing with his orchestra at the same time.
2 years ago, I did it in Los Angeles for a couple of performances, and I was so moved by the narration and the choir thing that I released a record called Deeper Faith, which is worship songs, but it's also narration with music. And so when they asked me to come here and do it, I said, yeah.
Wouldn't you just like to string him up on the end of a rope and let it rot in the town square for like a year? Or maybe that's just me. I'm sorry. Here's the thing about John Tesh. He looks like some weird genetically modified superhuman version of Ed Begley Jr. Have you ever noticed that? You look at Ed Begley Jr. and you think, like, if you were to make a bionic Ed Begley, that would totally be John Tesh. Kind of freaks me out.
And then, isn't he married to Connie Selica?
Yeah, he really is. I mean, he's just...
That doesn't seem like any reason.
I think I speak for everyone here. If you think I was being unduly harsh about hanging him, I think I speak for everyone here when I say that John Tesh is wrong. John Tesh is just wrong on every conceivable level, and he looks like some weird Aryan poster child, too. Doesn't he look like... He just looks like Hitler's dream, you know, creation. He's like 7 feet tall, blonde, piercing blue eyes. He's got that Ralph Reed, I'm the Antichrist in disguise smile. He unnerves me on many levels.
A Colorado family has finally ordered a casket for their son after praying in vain since Sunday that he would be brought back to life.
Yeah, how'd that work out for you?
Paul and Valerie Jungek had 12-year-old Zion embalmed but kept his body at home while they prayed for his resurrection. I know confirmed stories of people who have been raised from the dead, said the dad.
Yeah.
We really prayed hard for it. I know God will bring him back to life again. Well, Zion died at home Sunday when a filing cabinet fell on him while his mother was in the kitchen and his father was at church.
How big was the file cabinet? He's 12.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. It's like you always hear about those kids in high schools being killed by falling vending machines. Do you ever hear that? They always say, don't play with the vending machine. There's a kid in Saskatoon that got killed by one. That never happens. Nobody's ever been killed by a vending machine.
Well, we believe God still does the miracles today he did in the Bible. We would like to see more miracles, but unfortunately, they probably won't happen to us.
No, probably not. Yeah, God performing the miracles is like, I don't know, it's like George Burns. You know, he doesn't like doing, you know, he waits for special occasions to do it now. He says, as God gets older, he doesn't have the stamina to perform the miracles quite as often.
A man who lacked the skills to form relationships when people turned his attention toward a goat, for which he developed a relation-type feeling, said a district court judge. 30-year-old George Kipa, unemployed, appeared yesterday for sentencing on charges he admitted earlier, including trespassing on the property where a goat was kept, stealing the animal, and two charges of committing indecency with it. He developed a relationship-type feeling toward the goat and had been influenced by others who would get drunk and commit the same offenses on the animal.
Oh, now see, but what? Okay. Stop. What is this? This is the second story inside of 2 weeks
yep.
about not guy, but guys.
Yep.
gangs of guys who
sitting
pass,
around getting drunk.
It's like, for a good time, go to Stable 37 at 2 a.m. It's like who...
ask for Billy the Goat.
This is... Yeah, I mean, ask for candy. This is like that... this is like our dude night in hell. You know what I mean? Like, we get together, and it's like, for a good time, we're going to rent Die Hard, eat a few chips, pit back a few beers. But over in Freakville, or wherever this is, you all want to get together next week and go goat buggering? Like, who does that? What? Where do you find friends to... Any of you all are goat buggers, you're keeping it to yourself. I don't want to know.
There's some great chat rooms where you can go and find...
I'll take your word for it.
I mean, you know...
And so you've heard.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, anyway, the judge says modern society has become more tolerant of people with unusual sexual practices, and the community has viewed his operas with a degree of bemusement and amusement. But he was equally fair to say that such offerings remained abhorrent to everyone. So,
yeah, I'm with you on that.
You'll have to do 80 hours of community service, have 18 months supervision, and we'll have to take some anti-goat drugs and receive psychological counseling.
Here's just a little tip from me to you.
Yes.
If you're having sex with an animal, you are an apostasy unto the Lord. Mm-hmm. Just end it now. End it now before you end up in one of our news segments.
Jesus.
You're going to miss this show, Christina. Every day you wake up and you want to hear goat bugger in or baby being sold for some chicken. You're going to say, where did I go wrong that I left the Rick Emerson show?
Today I'm kind of surprised. I don't know if I'm listening more than I usually am or if the stories are just that much worse today.
No, we're hideous every day, pretty much.
The show's the same pretty much every
day. Yeah, we bat 1,000 on the hideous meter. On the hideometer. Every day we're pretty much pegging it.
I'm kind of listening. I think I'm just more intently listening today. Maybe I was trying to, like, you know, capture the moment and
trying to take mental Polaroids.
And then I thought, you know, now as I'm listening, I'm going, why am I doing this?
You're sort of trying to acquire mental snapshots?
Yes.
Okay, here's one.
No.
All right.
Stop.
You can bend radio as exciting as this. You know, it's a whole day of dusting with Ethel and things like that down there. The cable network that brought you the Anna Nicole Smith Show now presents a celebrity dating series featuring sitcom actors of the past. It'll be a 6-episode show called Star Dates, beginning December 15th. Each half hour follows the star on 2 separate blind dates, each one with a non-celebrity. Among the actors scheduled to appear are Butch Patrick of the Munsters.
Oh, God.
Gary Coleman of Different Strokes and Dustin Screech Diamond of Saved by the Bell.
Isn't it just like a given that whenever you're doing some celebrity has-been thing that Gary Coleman just shows up? What is it, like some, I don't know, is there like some mailing list they're all on or something? He just finds out about it?
Anyway, let's see. What else do we have here? It takes a special kind of person to be a date to the latest celebrity. That's the lesson producer James Morrell learned when he was fixing up C-level celebs like Gary Coleman, Dustin Diamond, and Jill Whalen for Star Date.
Jill Whalen? Who the hell is that?
I don't know.
All right.
He said he tried to make love connections with celebrity guests and says his best companions for has-beens are folks with a good sense of humor and knowledge of pop culture. For instance, he says has-been dates who say things like, isn't this just like the Love Boat episode you did? So it always
works. Oh, God. Can you imagine anything more pathetic? Can you conjure up anything more depressing than being on a date with a guy who played, like, Gopher and going, this is just like episode 34 with Larry Linville and Norman Fell? Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. Jesus. A man in Los Angeles, CNN radio correspondent, and A-list reporter, Jim Roop.
How are you, sir?
I'm a lot better off than a lot of people in this world. Can I tell you, in the last 20 minutes, we've had a couple training a baby in a Walmart parking lot for a plate of barbecued chicken. A guy and his pals convicted of buggering the same goat repeatedly because they all fancied the goat. And then apparently Captain Steubing from the Love Boat going on dates as part of a reality show. It is not a world of men, Jim.
Not anymore, sir.
All right. So Winona gets her sentence today, right?
Tomorrow. Friday, actually.
So she gets sentenced on Friday. So
yeah.
We found this is on the smoking gun. We found a list of the things that were in her medicine cabinet because apparently it's part of the rules of discovery. They wanted to find out if she had a heavy drug habit. And there's a fine, fine picture of Winona on the smoking gun today. If you go to smokinggun.com, there's a great picture of her. But so here's a list of the things that they found in her medicine cabinet. This is true. I'm reading this now. These are court documents. When the 31-year-old actress was arrested last December for shoplifting, Beverly Hills cops found Ryder carrying her own... Oh, these are all in her purse.
Yeah, she had 8 different prescription drugs.
They found liquid Demerol, Percodan, Vicodin, morphine sulfate, Lorazepam, which is a Valium, I believe. And they were all, and a lot of them were prescribed not to her, but to an alias of Emily Thompson.
Yeah, but she really only had, she really didn't have a prescription for only one of those.
So, but they were all prescribed to her.
Yes.
Yeah, but I mean, that still makes it weird. Like,
oh no, part of the thing she has to do, and then part of the thing the DA is going to recommend is the fact that she gets some help.
Yeah, I mean, like, I would just say, just from my limited experience with over-the-counter prescription drugs, or prescription drugs, rather, that if you're taking Vicodin, that obviates the need to take anything else. It's like taking heroin. Taking heroin, you know, like, you can't have a heroin habit and a marijuana smoking habit. Like, you have one or the other. If you have heroin, you don't need to take anything else, it seems to me. That's my thing with Vicodin. Why would you need to take Vicodin? At what point would you take a bunch of Vicodin and go, you know, this isn't quite mellowing me out enough. I need some Demerol on top of this. What is that about?
Hey, I guess, you know, whatever mood she's in is whatever kind of high she wants.
I can't get over how great a picture this is of her. I'd like to just imagine her in a woman's prison. Just maybe on a chain gang, doing a lot of hot, sweaty farm labor in the sun. Maybe stopping to take sponge baths with the other female inmates. This is a great picture of her. What is the sentence going to be for her, do you think?
She'll get probation, restitution, community service, blah, blah, blah. She'll have to take some sort of, she'll have to get psychological help on shoplifting problems and her problems with prescription medication. So yeah. Those are all the things the DA is going to ask.
Yeah, I can give her some help with that. Come stay at the Rick Institute, baby.
You're the only real man left in this world. If anyone can help her, it's you.
I'm telling you, it is an ever-diminishing, it's a world of ever-diminishing masculinity. It's just sad. Hey, let me ask you this. Somebody told me there's a bunch of, there's not more priests on the rampage in L.A. Did something happen down there with more priests? And
no, the thing is, in California, starting January 1st, the statute of limitations on sex abuse cases is going to be lifted, which the Catholic Church is worried now that there's going to be a flood of decades-old lawsuits coming into the archdiocese all throughout the state. So they're drafting a letter to parishioners warning them that this may be happening, more negativity, more lawsuits. But and there was a guy today who filed a lawsuit saying that he was abused by a priest when he was an altar boy in the 70s. But the problem is, how do you retrace that? How do you get evidence from especially a priest if he's dead or if there's no witnesses? I mean, that's a crime of secrecy. There's
right.
not a whole lot of evidence
right.
there. So that's the problem they're facing.
Yeah, it's just this world.
But no, there's no more on any rampage. I think right. they're all sort of closeting themselves right now.
Even more so.
Even more
they're
so.
Further into the closet.
That's right.
Excellent. CNN Radio correspondent Jim Rove. Thank you, man. All right. It's 503-250-1080. 1-800-727-5955. It is not a world of men, machine. All right. Wet out there tonight. Third prize is you're fired. All right, we got more coming up, including a top five later on another edition of How Chicks Think. We'll take a look at TV tonight. Betsy's going to join us later on today and all that. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's on Talk to Nettie K2K. Here's one of the best bands you own no records by. From Australia, here's a rose tattoo. We'll be back. Stay there.
Live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, okay, so Kristen in accounting email me here. So, Joe Whelan, whatever, Vicky from the Love Boat. So that's the daughter. That's not Julie, your cruise director. That's the Captain Stubing's daughter, right?
Are you
yes.
asking me?
I'm asking anybody who knows.
Yes,
okay.
You are correct.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, she was kind of cute. I mean, when I was 12, I don't know if she's cute now. It's weird that you, like, have you ever done this where it's like you, like, what girls are cute to you when you're, like, 12, and then you look at them later and you're like, what the hell was I thinking? I don't know whether it's like you just get more refined in your taste. I think it's like when you first hit puberty, like 12 or 13, and it's like any woman anywhere is beautiful. Like, any woman who'll talk to you. Like, that used to be my thing when I was, like, 13. It's like, what kind of girls do you have? Girls who'll talk to me. Like, who?
Girls who know my name.
Yeah, what kind of girls do you like? Girls who like me? And that was just, which, of course, was no one
girl
anyway.
Smile at me.
There was this girl named Melissa, the man I just had the biggest thing for when I was a teenager. And it's like I saw her years later, and she was just like, you know, like a repellent in every way.
But see, did she become repellent, or was she always repellent, but you didn't know it?
No, because out of curiosity, I went back and looked at some of my old school pictures with her, and she was repellent then. But it's like I just couldn't see it for some reason. Maybe you just start out open-minded and then
it's like
then
you got
later
the
enough.
Constant beer goggles on when you're like a kid.
Completely, yeah. It's just NAD goggles. Oh, that sounds really unpleasant.
It
yeah,
really
let's do
does.
The traffic.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Actually,
The Rick Emerson Show welcomes your comments, questions, nude photos, and death threats at Rick Emerson, 2000 Southwest 1st Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97201. This is Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Would you like to dance? I really like this Cyndi Lauper song. And here's the other thing about dancing, when you're like, well, ever for me, but I mean, especially like if you're growing up, you're like 10, 13, 14 years old. I don't know if the women don't have the experience, but guys have this experience. The song comes on, and you wait for the slow song, right? And it's equal parts, like, apprehension. You know, it's equal parts, like, pleasure and fear. Because you're like, come on, slow song. Smoking in the boys' room. Crap. Come on, slow song. Kenny Loggins' Danger Zone. Crap. And then, come on, slow song. And then Cyndi Lauper, time after time, you're like, all right. But then you spend, and you've been like looking forward to the slow song, like 20 minutes. Slow song comes on, and then what do? Then you're too terrified to go ask the girl to dance. And you're, just standing on the sidelines being like a big pussy. And so what do? You wait until there's like a minute and a half left. And so by the time you actually get up the courage to ask the girl to dance, like if you're me, it's like you get out there, and it's like we'd have a full 60 seconds to dance, and then it's a, thanks, you know, and then it's back to Twisted Sister or whatever. It's just sad. Rick. Is there a website displaying the metal sculptures? You know, I don't know. Maybe he has one. They're not on my site yet. If not, put more pictures to post on your website. You're so hideously behind on it. The two Christina replacement candidates and the sculptures. Get off your dead ass and inform your loyal and disappointed listeners. F. Matt with the penis sculpture.
This F. Matt could be sponsored by your business.
Larry in Salem. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
Anybody read Peter Carlin today? He talks about his T-bone. He talked about it here first, by the way.
That weasel, and I went through that entire column looking for a mention of me.
Yeah.
And of course, no. And it's not that like he has to mention me all the time, but he was on last week talking about the TiVo. I gave him all these great thoughts, my observations. And by the way, I've been talking about the TiVo for months to him. I've been talking to him about the TiVo forever. Finally writes the big piece on the TiVo today. A little love for Rick? No. A little mention of this fine radio program that gives him free publicity every Friday? No, nothing. Nothing. Not word one.
But look at some of the stuff he likes. Ken Berry as a Lithuanian transvestite.
He's a freak. Peter's a freak.
Okay, some of the stuff that's on tonight. Lord of the Rings, the two tenors return to Middle Earth. Also, a biography. Brent Gifford.
Why are the two tenors in Middle Earth?
Just a minute here. Oh, the two towers return to Middle Earth.
Okay, that's got it. All right.
So that's on, what's that on? Oh, it's on the WB32. Good show.
Really?
Not that they don't have good shows on the WB32, but it's on there.
Hmm.
Also, a biography, Frank Gifford, married to Kathy Lee Gifford. Deuce Bigelow, male gigolo.
Yeah, don't miss that.
Sounds good.
Yeah, whatever you do, make sure to see that.
Mariah Carey, Shining Through the Rain, is on again tonight on MTV. And why is this show on MTV? True Life, three different couples prepare for their weddings.
Oh, True Life is like it's a rotating wheel of variety or
reality.
I watched
it last night.
No, True Life, it's always like, True Life, I'm a porn star. True Life, I am a cheerleader. It's always True Life, I'm a whatever. And so this tonight is obviously I'm getting married. It's crap. It's awful.
Oh, Whitney Houston's on primetime special tonight.
Yeah.
But she's the West Wing.
She doesn't admit to anything. She doesn't cop to anything. She cops to using some drugs a long time ago, but never admits to having an addiction, which clearly she does. You don't stay in a relationship with Bobby Brown. I mean, unless you, it seems to me, unless you also have a drug habit. That's just simple. That's just the relationship dynamics. You don't stay in a relationship with a drug addict for 10, 15 years unless you are a drug addict yourself. You just don't. So, yeah, she's clearly lying about that.
Let's see here. Early in the year, Anne Heche played a hospital administrator who refuses a young child a life-saving operation because his parents don't have medical insurance in John Q. She also released her autobiography, Call Me Crazy. She talks about the toughest part of writing it.
I think everything has two sides. It's very tough to tell the truth, and it's very easy to tell the truth. You know, both. And so that would be the journey of the whole book. I would say. Each choice that I made was made, and it was very difficult, and it was also very easy.
Boy,
and,
man, you know, nobody would know who she was if it wasn't for Ellen.
No, and you can just hear, like, the eggshell lining around her sanity just cracking every time she talks.
Every time I think of her, I think about her son, Homer LaFoon.
Kind of a hideous name is Homer LaFoon. That kid's going to get the snow. We might as well just start kicking that kid now to get him ready for it, toughen him up a little bit, because that's what he's going to get when he goes to the schoolyard. But it's like, Anne Heche is one of those women who's always teetering, as I was saying, on the knife edge of mental collapse. And it's one of those women where you just expect every sentence to end in maniacal laughter. You know what I'm talking? You know those women, right? Or if sometimes it's a guy, but it's usually, how are you doing today? Well, I'm doing okay. Ever since Frank left me, I've been feeling a little strange lately. But I just, you know, it's like they just, and you at any moment, you just expect maniacal gales of laughter to come out of them.
You know, she's a future Margot Kidder. She'll be running around trash cans looking for her teeth.
She's an attempted suicide within 5 years. I'm laying odds right now.
We can only hope. She talks about the special gift she received from the experience of writing her book.
People needed answers.
Get the publisher's advance.
The public life that I had led that had a lot of gaps.
I got two more minutes of fame out of it.
So I wanted to tell the truth. Now it's on the shelves. People can go read about it. Don't, whatever. But
or
I got my
ignore
life.
It.
The gift that I gave myself.
Or forget
my
6 months later that it ever was out.
Years and the journey that I had taken that I was going to get my life. I was going to be able to live in my door.
Look for it on the bargain counter with Al Gore's book pretty soon.
I'm going to get to this call about Halle Berry. Okay, we'll get to this Halle Berry call in a second. So I got Keith. I was to chime in on Halle Berry as